Okay, in the book of Joel, we've been just a brief recap because I've been, you know, I was on a couple of weeks ago and then others were on in the meantime, just to bring us up to date on roughly what I've, very quickly, what we've looked at so far. So we've been working our way through the short prophetic book, which the book of Joel is only three chapters in it, but Bible scholars say it contains a fuller revelation of God's end time dealings with his chosen people. And not just Israel, but the world flowing from that, the world at large, than any other Old Testament prophetical book. And so, you know, this is what those that have studied it in depth say about it. So it's well worth looking at. And so that's what we've been doing. In the first three lessons, we looked at first the nation of Israel. And it's mostly about the nation of Israel, really, in the primary sense. And then it transfers on then to include other things. And so in lesson one, we looked at the introduction and this massive plague of locusts, which God allowed as a chastening at the time for his people. It just because they had fallen so badly into idolatry, he just allowed a massive plague of locusts to come through and demolished everything. And then it was a picture then of a massive end time army which would invade Israel in a future day, which has yet to happen. And so that we saw that leaped, that was a prophetical look at this end time army, like locusts who will be such, they won't be able to number them. And we looked at that as well. And then most of chapter one then was a call from Joel, the prophet, to repentance to the nation. And then we saw that led back to restoration of worship, which had ceased. And we just got an application. We saw it's the same for us. We must come back to the Lord, each one of us. You know, we need to repent all the time. You know, life, we repent in the first place to get saved, and then we repent our sin as we go through life. So it's a continual thing. And then we can worship properly and then serve as a result of that. So those three steps are very much part of all of Christian life. The second lesson, we looked at the massive Gentile army which would invade Israel from the north. And then as a result of that, there was a second call to repentance, followed by the gracious response of God Almighty in blessing. When people repent, and we saw that, that God will actually change his mind. You know, God can do anything. And, you know, he would have known beforehand, of course, you know, people would repent, and then what he would do if they did. And so we saw that, and that's a great blessing. Like when you come to the point of repentance and stay on that track, the Lord will bless you for it. And it's just because he's such a wonderful God. And we saw that. And then we looked at the Lord's army and the destruction of the invaders at Armageddon. And that's as far as we've got. And we haven't gotten into that fully. So today we're just going to continue now again and just ask the Lord to help. And Just before I pray, just going to on repentance there. There's an interesting thing we looked at about repentance, because we've been doing this, weekly fasting and prayer, which is a very good idea on Wednesdays, and then we have our meeting Wednesday night. We just saw they talked about in the Word for Today little magazine what true repentance is, and he talks about in it the story of the prodigal son, and we just saw that first what the prodigal son did. He was down there, had left his father's house, and he was gone with the pigs, got to the point where he was eating the pigs' food. And the first thing, three things he said. The first thing, he changed his mind. He said, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. And that's the first thing everybody has to do about repentance. You know, it's a change of mind. And the second thing, he redirected his will. He says, I will go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's the second step in repentance. And the third then is he took the action. He didn't just decide he was going to do it, you know, because we probably, a lot of us, stop short there. We think, yeah, my life is out of order with God and I need to do it. But then you don't really take the action. And so he redirected his will. I will go back. Sorry. And then he says he got up and went to his father. He took the action. So repentance is a change of mind which brings about a change of will and results in a change of action. And that's really what repentance is. And we looked at that a bit. So we just ask the Lord now, and then we're going to look at a little particular thing that we're going to look at in Joel here. So Father, we just ask your blessing on this lesson this morning from your book in the Old Testament, which is for our learning primarily, but we can take some good application for it as we look to things going to happen in the future and referring back to what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And we ask your help now, Lord, we can understand this and to help us to know how to rightly divide your word. This is a very good example of how to rightly divide the word of God, which you ask us to do. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what our goal is and what we want to be doing. And we ask for help now in Jesus' name. So we're just going to read Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 to 32 and finish the chapter. And then we'll look forward to the last one part of it. And this is a very, a very well-known piece of scripture. So Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. We hear about blood moons nowadays. Well, this will be the real thing. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And so we ask your help now in this, Lord, as we bring this, to try to find out what we can learn from this. So this is the explanation of the pouring out of the Spirit, and it's a very misquoted part of Scripture in certain parts of Christendom. And we heard it ourselves, growing up in early days of when, years of when we were saved. We came across a wrong emphasis on this particular part, to teach something that was never intended. And so we're just going to look briefly at verse 28, first of all. It says, it shall come to pass afterward. Now, the word afterwards there sets the time. And those little words, then and afterward, are so important in the Bible, because I'm no Bible scholar, but I just have picked up a few things like that. It sets the time chronologically, you see, when you come across that. And so afterward means in the last days. That's what it actually means, in the last days. And the last days are as applied to Israel. So that's what you're talking about. So he's talking now about Israel here particularly. A period which covers, and this is the last days as applied to Israel. It's a period which covers the tribulation and the millennium following it. And then at that time, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. And that's really what the verse is talking about. Verse 28. He says, if you read it in that light, with that in background in your head, I will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. I'm sure you've heard that being preached, and spoken in churches maybe here. And people kind of refer to it as what happened on, and twas what happened on the day of Pentecost in a sense. Anyway, just, we'll go back into that in a moment. But just to go on to verse 29, I will pour out my spirit, he says then in verse 29, says more or less the same thing. Upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days. Now, just think about that. The days he's talking about are the days afterwards when he's, referring to Israel. And he says, will I pour out my spirit? And then he says, verse 30 and 31, I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And that'll be preceded by these signs in the heavens. The pouring out the Spirit will be preceded by these signs in the heavens. And everybody will see them. And so even though this is these phenomena will signal doom for the enemies of God, which they will, his people then, if you read in verse 32, and it come to pass, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, this is the deliverance now. Even though these awful things are going to happen, there'll be deliverance And so when God, when people, believing people in Israel read verses like this, they know that even though all this stuff is going to happen and has yet to happen, there'll be deliverance for them after, the believing ones that will believe it. You know, others that won't, obviously, won't experience the blessing. And deliverance then, and they'll be precursors of their deliverance when they start to see things, God's enemies. Though such phenomena will signal doom for God's enemies, his people Israel should interpret them as precursors of their deliverance. And this links in, if you just keep your finger there and just go back to Matthew, this links in really closely with Matthew 24, what the Lord said. Very similar language. And just go, just keep your finger there and look at Matthew 24 just for a moment. It's just really comparing. You don't have to be a Greek scholar and like that to understand some of these things. It's comparing scripture with scripture. Just read 24, chapter 24 and verse 29, starting there. And then again, this is the same period. Immediately after the tribulation in those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So that's almost identical as what we read there in Joel. So it points to the same time after the tribulation. That sets the period when it's going to happen. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And shall and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so that'll be the precursor of the deliverance when this thing starts to come to pass. So the problem that arises then, what we're going to look at is this problem that has arose in interpreting what actually was said on the day of Pentecost. It referred to this passage in Joel. So we need to consider a question then in connection with verse 28. Some say, you see, this is the problem, verse 28 to 30, some say that this prophecy was fulfilled in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. So if you just keep in mind what we just said there now from Joel and Matthew as well, and just look at Acts 2 in Acts chapter 2, and this is referring to this event in Joel. It was prophesied in Joel, and people say it happened here on the day of Pentecost. Well, did it happen or did it not? This is what we're going to look at. Acts 2, starting in verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, this seems to say this is the fulfillment, doesn't it, when you see that there? And this, and then it quotes what was said in Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vaporous smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into light, into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And whoever comes past, it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, ye men of Israel, hear those things. We go as far as, no, we leave it there at verse 21. And some people say that the prophecy was fulfilled then from Joel in Acts 2. And that's the record there. You see, in 2nd Peter, in Acts 2, Peter says then, this refers to the tongue speaking that had just occurred in verse 1 to 10. You see, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 to 10, when the Holy Spirit came down, the tongue speaking. And so people say about that this is what happened. This is the fulfillment of Joel 2, just because they were speaking in tongues, said 14 different languages. And so they went on then to say that this prophecy was. So people, you know, they kind of ignore some of the other things that are mentioned there, and they said that just because of the tongue speaking and so on, they say that the and then when they put that to people that would believe that, they say it was only a partial fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. That's the answer they make. That it is only partly fulfilled. And it's not really a good answer, because it's a dangerous way to interpret Bible prophecy, because if you allow a portion of a prophecy being fulfilled to mean that the entire prophecy had been fulfilled, it's a dangerous thing, because you're saying that God is not able, if he predicts something, he is able to perform exactly and in full what he predicted. And if you're saying it's only partly fulfilled, you're taken away from what, you know, the sovereignty of God to be able to do something and really fulfill it. And so the best position to take is that Peter used this Joel's prophecy as an illustration of what was happening in his day, on the day of Pentecost. You know, he was the Joel prophecy was just, or the Acts 2 was just an illustration of what was going to happen in a future day, which hasn't yet happened, in fact. And so he said, the speaking in tongues is what he could say. He might have said this, in other words, the speaking of tongues is like what Joel prophesied is going to happen in the last days. And because if you go back to Acts chapter 2, and this is that, he said. He just said that somewhere. Verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It was only a small portion of it, just the speaking in tongues part. And that's pouring out his spirit. But that's not going to happen in full. And the reason you could say that is because, you know, there's parts of it there now. Let's see. Parts we were not fulfilled, you know, the signs in the sun and moon and all that didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. And so that is going to happen before the Lord pours out his spirit properly. And you might think, you know, it's not that important, Daniel. I mean, it's not a fundamental doctrine interfering with salvation or anything like that. But it's just all about accurately interpreting scripture, comparing one verse with another. And that's what we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so God wants us to be, you know, workmen that are, you know, knowing our Bibles, and we're living in an age. It's a little bit, and this is a little bit tricky, I suppose, to really get it, and even to try to explain it sometimes, because you're dealing with three different passages there. Matthew and then Acts and Joel, and I had to look at it a few times before I kind of got it myself. So it's and even to go and explain it, you know, it's not the easiest one, but it does make great sense when you kind of look at the different passages and compare them, and you see that it was only a little bit of what happened on the day of Pentecost was fulfilling that prophecy, you could say, and then the rest of it just didn't happen, and people. I say that, you know, pouring out your old men will dream visions, your young men and all that. That hasn't happened, didn't happen on the day of Pentecost, and wasn't meant for that time. And it's only for the end times, at the end days for Israel, in the last days for Israel, that will happen when the Lord will show these signs in the world and then pour out his spirit on all flesh. And hopefully that makes some kind of sense. And God wants us to, you know, because nowadays there's a lot of absolute, there's very little absolute truth, and you know, it's being replaced by relative truth. You know, if it's true for you, etc., it may not be true for me, and so we need to have a lot of Christians have only just a kind of a superficial knowledge of the Bible, and you know, we're in that kind of an age now where you just know a little bit of everything and maybe not anything in any kind of depth, and so. God wants us to be like that, not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. And so it's the believing ones in verse 32, it says there, and it shall come to pass, back in Joel there now in the prophecy, it shall come to pass that whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And then it's the ones that will believe this, and they'll be delivered at the time when this happens. And to be miraculously delivered physically from the horrors of Armageddon. And apparently, and then it mentions, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And this is the believing remnant of Israel will believe, and they'll see this written, and they'll see these things happen. No, the church won't be around. The church will be gone. This is during the end of the tribulation, and people will, you know, the ones that will have gotten saved in Israel, during that time, we'll see all these things happen, and they'll start to look at these prophecies then, and they'll realize they're going to be delivered. And so God, you know, will miraculously deliver them. And apparently Jerusalem will be a place of refuge for these people whom the Lord will miraculously save during this time. And so we're going to look in the last chapter in Joel, the next time, we're going to look at the conclusion of the book, and we look at Armageddon. And again, with special reference to Israel and in all of this, and how they're delivered from what will be happening at the time. And the judgment of the nations then, we look at that the next time. And that'll hopefully be the final thing we look at in the book of Joel. And hopefully we'll have learned a bit about prophecy and what the Lord is doing in the world and in the future. And so just for an application for ourselves then, as we consider these things and terrifying events in a way, when you look at them and listen to them, in a future day, they're going to be visited on our planet. For us to consider, we should consider that before this time and these things come to pass, we're going to be with the Lord, first of all. We're not going to be around for these things. But in light of that, what should our attitude be now? And if you'd like to turn to 2 Peter then, just to finish up the lesson this morning, which hasn't been very long, but I didn't want to get into chapter 3 because the subject changes fairly dramatically. So this would be a very good application. You know, having looked at that and what the Lord is going to do and will do, absolutely, sure as today follows yesterday, this will happen in the world. So we're just going to look at, in light of this, let's turn to 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And just start there and read a few verses in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, this would be our application, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be, talking to us now and everyone else, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And then again he talks to the believers here in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And verse 18 then, this would be something we need to apply very much and be thinking about as we, you know, spend our days and get older in the world and so on. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. So Father, we just thank you for your word. As Peter said, some things are a little hard to understand. This may be one of them. We looked at in Joel, what people say was the fulfillment of, which was fulfilled on Acts, and not particularly. It was like what's going to happen in the future, but not a fulfillment of it. And we just pray, Lord, that it will have gotten the idea of being students of your word and as much as we can. And you don't expect any more than what we can manage with our own minds. But we thank you, Lord, that you can open our minds to receive truth like this and be able to understand the plain meaning of Scripture. And if the plain meaning makes sense, we don't really need to look for any further sense. And we thank you, Lord, that you have, at each time you talk about prophecy, you bring us right back to where the rubber meets the road, like a passage like that in 2 Peter. Seeing that you look for such things, help us to be diligent that we may be found of you each day in peace, without spot and blameless, and to aspire for these things. We know what's in our hearts. We know the sinners we are. We sin every day. But we need to keep these verses in mind and realize that it's your long-suffering that's holding back all this awful time that's coming. And you want to gather in the lost ones. You know, it's your long-suffering, it's salvation, Lord. And so we want to be to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the, our Lord and Saviour, who we talked about and remember today, and to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.